Boys, I know it's really tempting, and I want to do it as well. Mess about with these bottles. You've got some free fidget pops there. But you know what? We're in the masjid. So you're in a program, you're in the masjid. So please, you know, at least the sanctity of the masjid, have some respect for that. So please, try to control yourselves. I know it's hard. Seriously, I really want to do it as well. But let's see. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhi nastafa amma ba'd. Faqad qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala fil Qur'anil Majid wal Furqanil Hamid. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحب سنتي فقد أحبني ومن أحبني كان معي في الجنة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي زدني علما وارزقني فهما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما أستغفر الله أستغفر الله أستغفر الله من كل ذنب وأتوب إليه. Respected scholars, brothers, elders, mothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Nowadays, popularity is measured by the number of hits a person gets. YouTube videos by the number of views. Facebook, Twitter, TikTok by the number of likes and followers. Websites, articles by the number of visits. And everyone sitting here today will acknowledge that for an individual, for a personality to get a billion hits of day is phenomenal. And to get a billion hits every day of the year is extraordinary. But for this same personality, to do this year in, year out is nothing short of miraculous. My friends, if this is how popularity is measured, then without a doubt, our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beats every human by a breathtaking margin. You're probably thinking, how? You're probably thinking, how? How is that even possible? You know, when you add up the numbers, you know, mathematics become pale in front of the awesome number of times our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is praised on a daily basis. For example, it is said that approximately 5% of Muslims around the world, from the Muslim population, it is said that 5% of Muslims very rigorously perform their 5 times daily salah. This is 300 million people, a minimum 19 times a day, just in their salah, who are praising the best of mankind, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's 5.7 billion hits a day. And this is not even taking into account the thousands of Muslims who visit the blessed grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and give him salutations directly and praise him. It's not even taking into account the thousands upon thousands of students in Islamic institutes who, while studying the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and studying the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, are continuously praising him. It's not even taking into account the millions of millions of Muslims around the globe who are sending durood, salat, salam and salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's not even taking into account the muazzins, you know, the callers to prayer, who around the globe are chanting the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam whilst they are performing the azan. It's not even taking into account the vast numbers of people in khanqahs who are doing zikr, and alongside their zikr that has been prescribed to them, who are sending salutations and durood to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My friends, the reality is this. This is the reality, that not a single second goes by on the face of this earth in which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not praised. Every second that is going by in our 24 hours of a day, someone somewhere in some form is sending either a durood, a salutation to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or is studying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or is praising the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the reality is that, you know, these numbers are absolutely mind-boggling. They're staggering. No human is more popular, more loved, and more adored than our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's the reality. And to top it all, this hasn't been just happening for the last few months or the last few years. No. Since the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, over 1400 years have passed, and this has been the practice of the Ummah. This has been the practice. No human can be more popular than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that is reality. And this is what Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was promised in the verse of the Quran which our Honorable Qari Sahib recited very beautifully. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرًا. That, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we have elevated your remembrance. We have made high your name. We have elevated your remembrance. And this will continue on until the day of judgment. No human is more popular, more loved, more adored than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's the reality. Hazrat Maulana Qasim al-Nawawi, and what a prophet that we have been given. What a Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all. Mawlana Qasim Nanotwi rahimahullah ta'ala, you know, the rector of Darul Uloom Deoband, he once said, jahan ke sare kamalat ek tujh mein hai. Jahan ke, pure jahan ke sare kamalat, ay Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, jahan ke sare kamalat ek tujh mein hai. Tere kamalat kisi mein nahi magar do char. All the excellences of the whole universe can be found in you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But your excellences, except a few, cannot be found in anybody else. Such love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such an honorable Rasul. Such an esteemed being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. He was the final messenger of Allah. And Mullah Qasim Nanotwi rahmatullah alayhi, he had such immense love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that on one occasion, after finishing, you know, his visit to the Masjid al-Nabwi, to the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for one last time, he was about to go back to India. One last time, he looked at that green dome. One last time. And when he looked at that green dome, you know, irrevocably the words came onto his lips. Agar bas chalta, agar bas chalta e Madina, agar bas chalta to mar kar bhi main tujh se juda na hota. Subhanallah. agar mera bus chalta to mar kar bhi main tujhse juda na hota. If it was up to me, if I had a choice, then even after my death I wouldn't leave you, O Medina. This is how much love he had for the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where do we start with the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You know, from the early days, even before the birth of the best of mankind, the signs were there for mankind that a great noble being is about to come. A great noble being is about to come. This is why we find that historians write that on the eve of the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an earthquake hit the palace of Kisra, the Persian emperor, the Persian king at the time. And as a result of that earthquake, 14 towers of that palace, they collapsed. And in, you know, the temple of Persia, there was a fire which had been consistently burning for, you know, over 1,000 years. You know, on the eve of the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that all of a sudden extinguished. Lake Sawa started to dry up. The mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Amina, she says that 9 months I was carrying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What happens when a woman is carrying when she's pregnant? She has all sorts of hardships and difficulties and pains to endure. Hazrat Amina says that whilst Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in my belly, I never felt any discomfort, I never felt any issues, I never felt any hardship. To such an extent that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, he was born in the state that there was no gun, there was no blood, there was no dirt there at that time. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, you know, coming out of the of his mother Amina, at that time she notices ajeeb nazara. What does she notice? She looks down and she says, the umbilical cord is already cut, he's already circumcised. Ajeeb, an extraordinary birth. This was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The signs were all there for mankind that he is to come. Jalaluddin Suyuti rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his work Al-Khasaisul Kubra, and also Imam Zurqani rahimahullahu ta'ala in his Sharh Mawahib, they mention a narration. They say when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a little baby in the lap of his mother Amina, nazalat sahabatun, a cloud descended from the skies. فَغَشِيَتْهُ وَغَيَّبَتْهُ, and this cloud covered the body of this child, and then it disappeared into the skies. And then a voice was heard from the unseen, طُوفُوا بِهِ مَشَارِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبَهَا لِيَعْرِفُوا بِسْمِهِ وَنَعْتِهِ وَسُورَتِهِ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ وَصِفَتِهِ. Thus, take this child to the east, take this child to the west, let the entire creation come to know the name of my beloved, let them come to know the qualities of my beloved, let them come to know the noble status of my beloved. وَعْتُوهُ خُلُقَ آدَمْ وَمَعْرِفَةَ شِيْثِ وَشُجَاعَةَ نُوحِ وَخُلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمِ وَاسْتِسْلَامَ إِسْمَعِيلِ وَفَسَاحَةَ صَالِحِ وَحِكْمَةَ لُوتْ وَرِضَى إِسْحَاقِ وَبُشْرَى يَعْقُوبِ وَشِدَّةَ مُوسَى وَجِهَادَ يُوشَى وَحُبَّ دَانِيَالِ وَوَقَارَ يُونُسِ وَطَاعَةَ إِلْيَاسِ وَصَبْرَ أَيُّوبِ وَلَحْنَ دَاوُودِ وَعِصْمَةَ يَحْيَى وَزُهْدَ عِيسَى. Grant this child the character of Adam alayhi salam, the recognition of Sheeth alayhi salam, the bravery of Nuh alayhi salam, the friendship of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the sacrifice of Ismail alayhi salam, the eloquence of Salih alayhi salam, the wisdom of Lut alayhi salam, the contentment of Ishaq alayhi salam, the glad tidings of Yaqub alayhi salam, the strength of Musa alayhi salam, the jihad of Yusha alayhi salam, the love of Daniel alayhi salam, the reverence of Ilyas alayhi salam, the obedience of Ilyas alayhi salam, and grant him the patience of Ayyub alayhi salam, the abstinence of Yahya alayhi salam, and the piety of Isa alayhi salam. وَغُمِّسُوهُ فِي أَخْلَاقِ النَّبِيِّينَ, and anoint him with the characteristics of over 124,000 prophets of Allah. This was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was not only Khatamul Nabiyyin, he was not only Khatamul Anbiya, he was not only the seal of all prophets. No, he is the final messenger of Allah, he is the seal of all prophets, but he is also Jami'u Sifatil Anbiya, the collective representation of the specific attributes of over 124,000 prophets of Allah. This is why Maulana Qasim Nanotvi said, Jahan ke sare kamalat ek tujh mein hain. All the excellences of the whole universe can be found in you. All the excellences of the whole universe can be found in you.
But your excellences, except one or two, cannot be found in anybody else. This is the Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu alama alusi rahmatullahi mentioned his Ruhul Maani in his famous tafsir. He says that once Hassan bin Thabit, the very famous poet of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came into Masjid-e-Nabwi, and as he walked into the Masjid-e-Nabwi, he saw Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of him. And irrevocably the words came onto his lips, وَأَحْسَنُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَتْتُ عَيْنِي وَأَجْمَلُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. That O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more magnificent than you my eyes have never seen. More beautiful than you no woman has ever given birth to. خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ. You have been created free from every blemish. It appears as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you according to your desire. Such a Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. When you look at his character, when you look at his life, the coming, the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a part of his seerah. The street which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked on, that is a part of his seerah. His day is a part of his seerah. His night is a part of his seerah. What do we discuss? His companions, who he saw successfully, gave such a great upbringing to. Upbringing in the sense that he taught them from a society which was regarded as, you know, this was a society who were living in, you know, Jahiliyyah. They were the days of ignorance. These very people, they were barbarians basically. Yeah. They used to kill each other for fun. They used to have disputes, you know, for petty reasons, such as, why did one of your flock or one of your animals come into my land? These were people who used to bury their own daughters alive, who used to persecute women, who never used to give rights to women. When Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, you know, people talk about giving women rights nowadays. You know, before the West even actually thought about this, over 1400 years ago, the actual flag bearer of giving women their rights was none other than our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, these daughters who were being buried alive, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you can't do that. And he actually mentioned virtues. That if an individual, you know, has, you know, two daughters or three daughters, and he gives them a good upbringing, gets them married, then he will be with me in Jannah like this, joining his two fingers together. In other words, this is how close we will be in proximity in Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these women who are being oppressed, you know, when it came to their menses, for example, that part of the month, these women, you know, they would be treated like animals. Men didn't want to know them. You know, if there was a divorcee, for example, her husband had passed away, or her husband had given a talaq, she would be, you know, absolutely expelled from society. She would be gone, and she would be made to live in a place which was regarded as, you know, the scum of Makkah, on the outskirts of Makkah. This is where, you know, they would, you know, throw all their dirt and all their rubbish and everything. This is where you would find the dogs, you know, trying to look for a morsel to eat. You know, this is where these women were sent. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. And the, you know, he practically not just gave women their rights verbally, but he practically demonstrated it. The very first marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to whom? Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she was a what? She was a, come on, yeah, well, you know, she was a divorcee, okay? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her to show, you know, he could have had his pick. Like respected Mawlana mentioned before me, the non-believers, Utbah bin Rabia, and these non-believers came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said to him, that, you know, we will give you whatever wealth you want, we'll make you the richest of individuals, we'll make you the richest man, but leave Islam. Leave the propagation of deen. You know, if you want women, we will line up the most beautiful Arabian women for you. You can take your pick. Here, if you want to be a king, we will make you king. But leave calling people towards Islam. This was their condition. This was their condition. So Rasulullah SAW had a pick. But then what does he do? He goes and marries Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. He practically demonstrated, this is how you give women their rights. And he gave women their rights. Alhamdulillah. This is what our deen is. You know, people talk about giving that, you know, Islam does this to women and Islam takes the rights of women. Astaghfirullah. You look at the Quran, you look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, how much rights he actually gave to women. How much, you know, how he propagated to us and encouraged us to such an extent that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best amongst you is that individual who is the best to his family. The best amongst you is that individual who is the best to his family at home. You know, certain individuals, they have two faces or two characters. Are outside with their friends and, you know, in society and their work, they're somewhere else. But the moment they actually come home, you know, it's a complete different story. Complete different story. With Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you look at his character, everything going from, you know, the patience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we don't have time to go into everything, but everything, you know, all these facets of life, and all these spheres of life, when you see Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you definitely come to understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innaka la ala khuluqin azeem, like Allah mentioned in the Quran, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the pinnacle of good character. The pinnacle of good character. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, and this is what he mentioned to you and I. That inna athqala shay'in yudaw fi mizanil mu'mini yawm al-qiyamah khuluqun hasanun. The most weightiest of good deeds in your scale on the day of judgment will be your good character. When you ask the Sahaba, you turn to Sayyidina, you know, the special assistant of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, for 10 years, I served Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَمَا قَالَ لِي أُفٍّ وَلَا لِمَا صَنَعْتَ وَلَا اللَّهَ صَنَعْتَ. That not for these 10 years, not once did Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, uff to me. Not once did he say to me, Anas, why haven't you done this? Why did you do that? You were told not to do that. Why did you still do it? Oh Anas, you were supposed to do this, why didn't you do it? Or you were not supposed to do that, why did you do it? Not once did Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rebuke Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala. Such was his character. When you ask his beloved wives, okay, we know what he was like outside. The Sahaba have, you know, vastly reported the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was he like at home? When you ask his beloved wife, Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not like you and I, yeah, that, you know, when it's time, you know, to do the dishes, all of a sudden we get a phone call, yeah, all of a sudden we got to go out, all of a sudden I've got an appointment, yeah, when it's time to hoover the house, the amount of excuses we make, ajeeb, yeah, when it's time, Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala says, who can be more busier than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The best of mankind. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala says, at home he would help us with the chores. The household chores, he would help us. He would help us. He would, you know, milk the goat. You know, he would sew his own footwear, fix his own footwear. This was Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So doing housework is not something, it's not a shameful act that we need to run away from. It's the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, you're not going to be degraded in any way. You're not going to be humiliated in any way by hoovering the house. It's not a job which is the you know, you say to your wife at home or your mother's at home, this is your job and these, you know, I just have to go and earn. No. The sunnah, Allah's Messenger, Hazrat Aisha is saying, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to help us at home. With the chores, he used to help us. So what do we understand from that? That this is one of the sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about his sunnah? Imam Tirmidhi relates in his sunan, on the authority of Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani. That he who loves my sunnah, he who loves my sunnah, my way of life, فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي has loved me. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِيَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ And he who has loved me will be with me in Jannah. So doing your household chores is a sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So basically, if your mothers and sisters and wives are listening to this, get ready, you're ready when you go home today. Anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like I was mentioning, you know, we commonly told today that there's all different types of learners in this world. Yeah, we have certain individuals or, you know, types of people who can be classed as auditory learners. So if they're sitting in a class or if they're sitting in a lecture, whatever the professor says to them, they'll actually absorb the whole information and they'll get the lesson. Yeah? We have those who, you know, similarly those who can understand textbooks. You know, they'll sit down, you know, with their textbooks, they'll study them, read them, absorb the lesson, understand it, you know. Then we have those who are regarded as visual learners. So these guys, basically, until you don't actually have, you know, a presentation going on, or until you don't actually show them a video, or until you don't actually practically demonstrate that lesson to them, you know, it's just going to go for a six over their heads, basically. Yeah? Look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Over 1400 years ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, made sure that all types of learners are catered for. If somebody wants to, understands textbooks, or understands a lesson from a textbook, or from reading, you have the beautiful Quran there. You have the beautiful ahadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's all there. Yeah. If somebody is, you know, understands, is an auditory learner, you need to give them a lecture, well, you're here. Yeah. Or you go to an authentic scholar and study under his guidance or her guidance. So these individuals are also catered for. Then you have the visual learners. So regarding the visual learners, whatever the Quran, the message of the Quran was, it is impossible to understand the Quran without Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Both go hand in hand. Yeah? To understand the Quran, you need Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not only explained the verses of the Quran to the Sahaba, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, which was one of his responsibilities. Yeah? To explain the Quran, not just to recite the Quran, or recite the revelation that would come down to him, but also to explain it to the Sahaba. So the Prophet ﷺ explained it, and then the Prophet ﷺ even lived by the book, by the Quran. So the whole life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a living, walking, talking Quran. Yeah? This is why Allah said in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That indeed, in Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have a good example. And my friend, the reality is that one of the biggest tragedies of today's times, is that unfortunately we have taken evil, immoral people as our role models. We have taken these individuals as our ideals. Football players, rock stars, musicians, movie stars. You know, these are the types, I don't even want to mention their names. These are the sort of individuals that our youngsters, our girls and boys today look up at. Okay? And they want to become like them. Until we don't understand this reality, that our ideal role model is none other than the best of mankind, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is going to be no success in this world and in the hereafter. Until we completely carry on, you know, chasing these evil and immoral people and making them as our role models, the ummah will continue to be humiliated around the globe as it is being humiliated today. We need to understand and we need to realize this. And this is why these programs are important. You know, why does Mawlana Muzakkir and our brother Mawlana Askar, you know, why do these individuals hold these programs? They're not for, you know, just to entertain us, or to keep us warm for a few hours, or we don't come here to eat. The purpose of these programs The purpose of these programs is so that we can get to know who Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was. The reality is that to some extent, yeah, we all love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, don't we? You will not find a single Muslim in the world who says, na'udhu billah, that I don't like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or I don't love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. All of us who have recited La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, to some extent we all love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the reality is that we need to understand what true love for Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is. And you know what true love for Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is? If you truly love Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, truly, then you will obey him, you will follow him, you will follow and you will live according to his sunnah. The day of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has to become your day. The night of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has to become your night. When you follow him, when you obey him, then you know you can start to say, this is basically the yardstick or the gauge of, you know, how to find out if somebody truly loves Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When you follow him, obey him, and when you love his sunnah and follow the sunnah of the lifestyle of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then you can truly start to think that yes, I have true love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam just as I claim. Why? Because just like the Sahaba had this true love for Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this is the reason why Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam worked on them. He molded them, he shaped them, he prepared them for the future. This was the intellectual legacy. You know, the intellectual legacy of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala majma'in. This was his intellectual legacy. You know what the intellectual legacy of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was? The beautiful sayings that we study, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the guidance of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The thing is, are we ready to grasp it? Are we ready to learn from it? Are we ready to take from it? And you know, if truly, because what happens is true love, anybody who's truly loved anybody, you know, that true love emanates from the heart. And when it emanates from the heart, you know, it is expressed through our actions. So if we truly love Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will make a concerted effort to try to understand him, to read his seerah, to discuss him, to study him, and then pass on this message, or pass on his life, or the lessons we learn from his life to others. We will express it with our words. We will express it with our actions. This is true love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just to end, and just to conclude, you know, like I said, we've not come here for any entertainment. You know, any entertainment. The reason why I've come here, or why we all come here, and you know, listen, you know, to these beautiful speeches, you know, Maulana Akmal Sahab, mashallah, and, you know, the Maulana Sahab who was before him, mashallah, very beautifully and eloquently, you know, they gave you, you know, basically snippets from the life, from the beautiful life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Maulana said before me, that in a program like this, for a few hours, it is not possible to encompass the whole life or do any justice to the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to actually make that effort. But since we're here now, yeah, whatever we have heard today, we need to actually put it into practice. So this is what we're going to do over the next few minutes, inshallah. Just as how you brothers know, I'm going to give you an action plan to take back with you, because you want to go back with something from this program. So I'm going to give you an action plan, and I want you to take it forward and inshallah practice upon it and pass it on to others. You know, just as how parents have rights over their children, children have rights over their parents, and you know, every, you know, sphere of life or faction of life, they always have rights upon the others. Yeah, our children have rights, you know, we have rights, prepare as parents, we have rights, our teachers have rights, the students have rights, and Islam has given their rights to everybody, which the Prophet ﷺ has very beautifully explained and given all these adab and etiquettes. Just like this, similarly, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also has rights upon us. And the elders of the past, they've even given written books on the rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's many rights of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm only going to mention 6 of them, very quickly. And I want you to take these back with you. The very first right of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for you and I to fulfill is that we obey him, we follow him, and we love him. Obeying Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, following Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, following his sunnah is also a sign of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Allah himself says in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِيُونِ يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمُ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them, say to the people, if you love Allah, if you love, do we love Allah? If you, Allah is saying, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you love Allah, then فَاتَّبِعُونِي, obey me, follow me, obey me. And you know what Allah will give you in return? He'll give you 2 things. What will he give you? 2 things he'll give you. If you obey Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will give you 2 things in return. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, you, number one, you will become the beloved of Allah. You will become the mahbub, the beloved of Allah. Allah will love you. And the second thing, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, the second reward is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sins. So the first right of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to follow him and obey him. Will you remember that? Follow him and obey him. The second right of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that throughout our lives we constantly remember Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Constantly remember. How do we remember him? By studying the biography of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by studying the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by studying, you know, the noble sayings, the ahadith of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is how we remember him. You know, it's sad to say that our youngsters today, you go and ask them, you know, so and so football star, you know, they'll give you all the information regarding it. You ask any of our girls about any of the pop stars that they look up as, you know, their ideals or role models. Ask them, you know, basic information about them. Or ask them, you know, very intricate information and they'll give it to you all. But you know, as Muslims, it's sad to say this. That as Muslims, you tell me, if a non-believer came to you today and asked you how many daughters or how many sons, which is a very basic question. I mean low level basic, basic question. If you were to be asked by a non-Muslim, how many daughters or how many sons did Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam have? I can guarantee you a lot of the youngsters sitting here would struggle with that question. That's the sad reality. Why? Because we've never made that effort to understand who Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. This is why it is important to take an authentic biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and study it. If you love him, study it, understand it. And one of the best ones that comes to my mind, of my very limited knowledge, is, you know, a very famous book on the seerah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was compiled and written by the very famous scholar, the mufassir, the muhaddith, Maulana Idris Kandilvi rahimahullahu ta'ala, known as Siratul Mustafa. It was originally written in Urdu, but now, you know, in 3 volumes we even find the English translation. So, you know, we don't have an excuse. You know, those who only understand English, you have no excuse now. The translation is there. You know, buy this book, Siratul Mustafa, in English, and study, you know, a few pages every night before you go to sleep. And you'll understand Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You'll study his biography. You'll know who Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. You know, we keep hearing, follow the sunnah, follow the sunnah, follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How do we follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And again, another book I'll give you. Very famous book known as Uswai Rasooli Akram, written by Dr. Abdul Hayy Arfi rahimahullahu ta'ala. You know? And, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was originally written in Urdu. In fact, it was a diary that Hazrat used to keep. Yeah? And then it was compiled into a book in Urdu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this book so much acceptance So much acceptance that you will find that it has already been, you know, translated into the English language, and it has also now been translated from Urdu into Arabic for those Arabic speakers and Arabic understanders. This is how much maqbooliyat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the kitab. And in there, what does he do? He discourses every sphere and facet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. What his day was like, how he used to conduct himself, how he used to be at home, what was his eating habits, what was his sunnah on eating, drinking, you know, how he used to talk to other people, you know, everything, basically A to Z, on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You need to buy this book and study this book. Yeah? And when you buy this and study this, then you need to understand that, you know, it's not just keeping it to yourself, but make an atmosphere at home. For example, if you're about to eat at home as a family, then the thing you need to do is, you need to educate your children and tell them, you know, one of the first, very first sunnah of eating of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to wash our hands. Teach your children. Make them get up. Make them go. Make them wash their hands. Yeah? When they're sitting down, teach them. You need to eat with your right hand. Teach them the dua. And if you forget the dua, this is what you read. After eating, this is the dua. If you actually implement this in your life, and you start making this sort of, you know, upbringing within your home, and teaching your children like this, they will never forget these lessons in their life. What do we do today? Unfortunately, sad reality, very sad reality is, sadly today, that, you know, we forget, you know, kids, even the elders today, you know, when we're sitting down to eat, even the elders, you know, kids, wherever I've seen anyway, I've always seen them there, you know, but even the elders today, we find that until we're not actually watching something, that morsel doesn't go down our throat. We want entertainment at the same time. So the iPad's open, Netflix is on, Prime is on, series are on, or our elders, mashallah, the news are on, you know. And you know, this politics and that politics, or the cricket is on, or the football's on, and we're eating whilst we're watching. Just how? When are we going to ever remember to read the dua before eating if we're too busy and glued into the TV or in our gadgets? What are we going to teach our children? How are we going to teach them the etiquettes that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us? What sort of an upbringing are they getting? And you know, it's gone to an extent now, you know, that some individuals in homes, you know, there's a proverb in English, they say a family that eats together stays together, and it's true. But in our homes, look at it today, yeah? When it's food time, so-and-so comes down, he'll take his food or she'll take his food, straight up in the room. We'll all go in our own corners. Never mind eating together, that's even gone now. And then we have the musibah of all these gadgets in front of us. When are we ever going to do shukr and be grateful to Allah for that morsel that He has given us? When we're so stuck in the arm, when we're so, you know, glued into the iPad, into our gadgets. When we're being entertained like that, when are we going to say Alhamdulillah? It's not going to happen. And this is what we need to understand. Our success lies in the way shown to us by Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the second right of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to know Him, to understand Him, to constantly remember Him throughout our lives. Yeah, very quickly. The third is that the deen Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought, we have such immense love for the deen, Islam, such love for Islam, that no matter what sacrifices we have to endure, we endure these sacrifices in order to completely practice upon, you know, Islam, in order to propagate Islam to others, in order to learn about Islam. Whatever comes in our way, or whatever sacrifices we have to make them, but we love the deen of Islam, which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought. Loving Islam. Yeah? The fourth one, or beyond four, yeah? Sending salutations upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his right. Send salatu salam, send durood upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as much as you can. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's so many narrations. That we can mention regarding the virtues of durood sharif. Such an extent, scholars came and they actually written books specifically and exclusively just on, you know, the benefits and the virtues of, you know, sending salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A very beautiful book, Al Barakatul Mufida, by Mullah Musa Ruhani Bazi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Sheikh Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi fazali durood sharif. We need to read them and understand that the benefits that we will get from sending durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how long does it take? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 2 seconds. And you know what you did in them 2 seconds? Sallallahu alayhi ashra salawat, wa huttat anhu ashra khatiyat, wa rufiyat lahu ashra darajat. You got 10 good deeds, 10 of your sins were wiped away, and you know what? 10 of your ranks in Jannah were elevated. It's such an easy thing to do. Send durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the fifth one is, that we have this desire to visit the beautiful city of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to go to the beautiful grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and directly give Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam our salam, having love for the city, the blessed city of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and having this, you know, this eagerness and this desire to go there again and again and again and again, yeah, and give Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam our salam. You know why? Because man salla alayya inda qabri, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he who comes to my grave and gives me salam, says, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, ya as-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sami'tuhu, I hear that. Wa man salla alayya na'ibatan, and that individual who from far sends durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ublighatuhu, that durood is delivered to me. You know by who? By the angels. Inna lillahi malaikatan sayyahina fil ard yuballighuni an ummati as-salam. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's angels roaming around this earth, and as soon as somebody recites durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they take this durood and they deliver it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Madinah Munawwara. And every time we hear the name of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do we do? What do we do? We say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, Imam Tirmidhi relates in his Sunan on the authority of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, Karamallah Waja, Al Bakhilul Ladhi Man Dhukirtu Indahu Falam Yusalli Alayya. Miserly, you and I, we say, you know, if somebody, if you ask him for 20p, or if you ask your mate for £1, and you know, you say, you know, he's got the £1, you know he's got it, but he keeps it in his pocket and he's really stingy and he's a bit of a miser. Yeah, you and I call that individual a miser, don't we? Yeah, who keeps his money to himself, who keeps his goods, you know, he keeps them hoarded, doesn't share it or doesn't give it, whatever. You know what Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? Miserly is that individual. That individual is kanjus, makichus. Yeah, that individual is a miser. That the which individual? That when my name is mentioned in front of him, falam yusalli alayya, he doesn't send salutations upon me. That individual is a miser. So this is the right of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fourth, that we send durood, upon. Fourth one was sending durood upon Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fifth one was visiting the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is our aqeedah that the messengers of Allah, the prophets of Allah, al anbiya ahyaun fi quburihim yusallun. Yet inna Allah harrama ala al-ardi an ta'kula ajsad al-anbiya. The prophets of Allah are alive in their graves. Rasulullah sallallahu will hear this salam, he will reply back to it. Yeah, and this is reality. So our aqeedah is part of the aqeedah of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaah, that the prophets of Allah are alive in their graves. Okay, so this was the fifth one. And the final one, the sixth one, is that everything that is connected to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be it the Arabic language, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu, the noble companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the cities of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anything and everything that is connected to Rasulullah sallallahu, his companions, his family, the Ahlul Bayt, anything that is connected to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have the utmost respect and love for them. Utmost respect and love for all these connections. This is one of the rights of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these have given you six rights. You know, our brothers of Jamaat, they have 6 points. These are 6 points. Your 6 rights from today's program. 6 rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I want you to take these back today, inshallah, and put them into action. This is your plan of action, inshallah. Will you take this back with you, inshallah? Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Okay, inshallah, adhan will happen now. After adhan, salah will take place. We'll give about 5 minutes for everyone to do their sunnah, and then after that, salah will take place. After salah, the dua will happen to conclude the majlis. Please, everyone, stay after the salah and take the food containers with you when you go home. We haven't given it out because we don't want it to get too messy, inshallah. Please make sure that everyone partakes in that and takes food home and enjoys that, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan.